First Chronicles chapter 28 in your Bibles this evening. We will get there eventually. Abraham Lincoln was one of the greatest men that America ever produced. He was tall and lean and troubled. He stood at Gettysburg, where 50,000 men had just died. And he delivered one of the greatest speeches ever given, especially on American soil. He concluded his speech this way: "We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." A reporter of his day at his death, which was not that long afterwards, said, "Abraham Lincoln's death is not just a death, but it's the end of an era." So was David's death. More written about David than any other man in Scripture, of course, except the Lord. Joseph was a great young man. 12 chapters written about him. 66 chapters written about David. David was called of God to be an era in Israel with new thoughts of themselves and what they could accomplish and God. No one can fill his shoes. No one can duplicate his achievements. His son Solomon succeeds him, but he is not as great as what his daddy was. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, God said of David, "David served his own generation well by the will of God." David made such an impact on his generation, and it still lives today. If you were to go to Jerusalem, there is a King David Hotel. There's a King David Avenue. The Star of David is on every Israeli flag. We all have a purpose for living. We are no accident, and you are not incidental to God. Man makes others insignificant, but God never does. The greatest tragedy of anyone's life is never to find God's purpose for your life, why you were created, why God saved you, and why God commissioned you. When God's purpose for my life is over, just take me home. And that's not a tragedy, that is a triumph. What was David's purpose? To be king? For sure. To write the Psalms? Absolutely. To raise a son? What a great thing. We come to the end of his life, as we do with everyone's life, and last words are very significant. I don't know if you've ever been in the room with someone that died, but their last words are so significant. I remember being in the room with Mark Cannon just before he died. And you know what he said? "I just want to go home." And that's not too bad. So I want us to take a look at some last words of famous people. Charles Dickens. Anybody ever heard of Charles Dickens? His last words were these: "I commit my soul to the mercy of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Polycarp, A.D. 155. "The wood is stacked at his feet, which will be lit, and he will be killed by the fire." His last words: 86 years have I served him, and he has done me nothing but good. How can I deny my Lord and Savior?" They had just told him, "All you have to do is deny Jesus and you will be set free." And he said, "No." and he dies. Spurgeon, a friend asked him, "Are you sinking?" And here's what he said. "How can you sink through a rock?" And he died. Voltaire, the very popular atheist in France, his last words, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell." Charles IX, king of France, horrible king. "What blood, what murders, what evil counsels have I followed? I am lost. I see it well." So we're going to look at the last words of David this evening. I'm going to divide them into three parts. First of all, David talked about the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Let's read verses 1 and 2. "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of God and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building.'" He talked about the dream that God had given him to build a house for the Lord. And the key thing is, he had a dream. I wonder, what is or what was your dream in your life? Was that fulfilled? Are you fulfilling it now? I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in my way of thinking, dreams are absolutely essential. The saddest people in the world are those people who have no dreams. David spoke about the temple, a dream that he had. Look at verse 3. "But God said unto me, 'Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood.'" You understand, dreams are not always realized. Look at verse 4. "Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he had chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father." Well, I like this, these next couple of words. David said, he liked me. This is David talking about a God that he knew very, very well, and he simply said, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. The dream to build the temple was not fulfilled in David. But then he just talks about, "I couldn't do this, but he let me do this." And how very kind of God. Later on, God spoke to his son Solomon, and he said this to Solomon. He said, "I didn't allow your daddy to build the temple. You're going to build it, but," and I love this, God said, "it's enough that he had it in his heart to do it." David wanted to. God said, "No, you're a man of war. You got bloody hands. You can't build the temple." But he tells his son, "It's enough that your daddy had it in his heart to do it." We need to be very thankful for what God allows us to do when our dream is not going to be fulfilled. Second of all, David speaks to his son. All the people are there, and he speaks to this young man. He speaks to Solomon. Look at verses 9 and 10. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." A big old fly up here. And I've had those things enter the ministry when I was preaching. So I try to get rid of them. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." David said to his son, "I want you to know God." He didn't say, "I want you to know all about him and things that he did for Moses and all the other." That's not what he is saying here. He says, "I want you to know him, to have an infinite relation to the God of this universe." And then he said, I want you to have a willing mind. This is the biggest, blackest fly I've ever seen in my life. I want you to have a willing mind. What he is saying is this: don't make God come and get you. Don't make God put you in a position where you don't have any choice in this. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, God says this. He says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice." Don't make God come and get you. You do that with a willing mind. You present yourself to God and say, "Oh God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do." And then in verse 11, "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things." He has his son there, and all the great people in Israel are there. And he begins to lay out all the stuff on the floor, all the patterns, all the blueprints of the temple. He lays them out on the floor, and he tells his son, he said, "I've got everything paid for. The money's in the bank. All you have to do is build it. Everything is ready for you to do that." Now look at verses 20 and 21. "And David said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee." This is a daddy talking to his son. "He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment." He will never fail thee. David, when he leaves his son, He leaves him a lot materially. Oh my goodness. Billions of dollars. But the best thing that he left his son was a daddy who knew God. And then David turns to the Lord. Chapter 29 now. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let's pick up the story in verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. That's one of the greatest statements in the Bible of an individual thinking about his Lord and saying that. It's a great portion on praise. And then he talks about thanksgiving. Verse 14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. We are all our fathers. Our days on this earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. What a heart of thanksgiving. God, you've been so good to me. And every one of us can say the same thing. Oh, God, thank you. You have been so good. And then, of course, he prays for his boy. Verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Now look at verse 28. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. I want you to understand something. When a man of God dies, nothing of God dies with him. God is still there. He is still powerful and capable to bring about his ultimate desires. God help us. I want to know him and I want to serve him with all my heart. Let's pray. Father, one of the wonderful things that we look forward to is learning from David when we get to heaven. He loved to play the stringed instruments, and we'll be able to hear him play. He loved his family. He loved his boys. And dear Father, we just are so thankful that you have preserved this in Scripture, because it is something that we need to take heed to in our life. Thank you for this time together this evening. Father, help us to be very obedient to thee in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.